You're listening to the UConn Honors Podcast. My name is Mukund Desibatla, and I'm a host of Agents of Change. I would like to welcome two special guests today that are working in a kinesiology lab with Dr. Sudha Srinivasan. So I'm here with Avadhoot Khare and Gaganjot Bedi. So would you both like to introduce yourselves and talk about the exciting research that you've been partaking in?
Okay. I'm Gaganjot. If you're Indian, you can call me Gay. If you're white, I go by loud names. So our lab has, I've been working on a lab since the summer that Avadhoot joined recently. It's basically a lab in the physical therapy building. It falls under a physical therapy title. Our PI is a physical therapy teacher. So she just works with children with learning disabilities like autism and cerebral palsy. And we're trying to figure out how we can help these children learn better and improve their learning and understanding how they express what they want, their emotions.
Right. From what I understand, you're working with kids with learning disabilities in this lab. And Avadhoot, I think you mentioned this to me earlier today. You said that you listen to videos of kids, especially, well, this project, the ongoing project is a study in India.
Yeah.
These are kids that speak different languages, different dialects around India, and they are all suffering from learning disabilities such as autism and other conditions, and you conduct trials. So actually, Avadhoot, would you mind explaining what are these trials? And at least from the start of the lab, you didn't dive right into the trials. You had to do like reliability checks. So could you talk about that too?
Yeah. So this study happened in Mumbai, which is a city in India, and there's like many languages that are spoken there. So there's Hindi, there's Marathi, and then there's like a host of other languages that just happen to be spoken. But Hindi and Marathi are like the two big ones. So the videos that we have or that we coded are mostly in Hindi and Marathi. And yeah, these trials were done over the course of earlier this year in January to March. And there were about 30 kids, I think, that were trialed. And yeah, so we have all the videos, and what we're doing now pretty much is looking at each video and coding based on how the kids respond to verbal requests. So like the prompter will ask like, oh, do you want water or do you want to play a game? And then the kid will, you know, based on their response. So sometimes kids don't respond at all. Sometimes they'll, you know, respond after 20 seconds. Sometimes it takes them like a few prompts, or like the instructor has to ask a few times. So depending on that, like we grade the kids based on this, and then using that data we can, you know, look at how each kid used the app to better respond to their surroundings. And that's pretty much the whole goal of the whole study, is how can we get these kids to better interact with the world around them.
That's really fascinating, and I think that's amazing that Dr. Srinivasan was able to put together such an interactive app that will help students kids in general anywhere. It's not even for India. Just kids suffering from learning disorders to be able to better access viable resources. So, like Gaganjot, I think you also, like from your participation in the lab, you've been able to see how like kids can be able to, let's say, like ask for food or other things. So you actually got to work in this lab full time over the summer. So I wanted to touch, how was that experience? And also, how did this impact you working with kids suffering from learning disorders? Because I understand you're an MCB major, but these are such interactive experiences that you don't really find in the classroom. So how has it impacted you?
Okay. So I'll start with answering your first question, and I'll go to the second one. The first question you asked was, how was what I did over the summer? Okay, so over the summer, we basically had to establish reliability. So what we do is that we analyze videos and we code it, but there's a specific coding scheme that you need to utilize in order to effectively gauge results. So I had to learn that coding scheme, and I had to compare it with my PIs so that she could see that I could effectively code. So that took most of the summer, and then when Avadhoot came, I'll probably talk about it later, but I helped him learn that scheme as well. And then, so the big part, big theme of this lab is reliability, because that's important if you want accurate results. And so once I was able to learn the scheme, I was on my own, I was coding my own videos and whatnot. So when I was doing this, I wasn't really engaging with children learning. I was watching children with learning disabilities, but not one-on-one engaging them. I have done that, though, in her other projects, and more recently, where she conducts trials with these kids that we helped recruit over here near UConn in Storrs in Connecticut. She works with these children, and we help her carry out these trials, and that's where I interact with these kids. It's been a rewarding experience, because I didn't expect to work with kids when I entered the lab, and I've never worked with kids with autism or any other disabilities before, but it's a good, it's a valuable experience to have, and it just, like, they need our help, so it feels good to help them out, and just learn better.
Absolutely. I can imagine it's not something that you would have ever expected coming from your major. And I think an important note is that for a new lab, there is definitely a lot of reliability checks that have to be laid as the foundation before even diving into trials. And actually, even before you worked on this application, I believe the kids were actually given cards in the beginning. Right. And this is actually just a very new method that came about. So you really have to look at the past. So from what you understand, how did those cards play out, especially for a kid suffering from autism who needed to ask for food or for playing or the bathroom? How did those cards apply to their daily life? And it was not entirely successful also. So could you touch on that part of it, too?
Yeah, so autism is, not very clear-cut disorder, right? There's a spectrum. You have people who may have autism but are still very highly functioning. You can have a normal conversation with them. They'll be able to respond to, normal requests. They can, perceive things like a fairly, regular person. However, then there's also people who suffer from a more severe form of autism. So for the app, it does require a little more focus, I would say. And we saw that a lot of kids that they tested would start off with cards. So the instructor, the trainer would give them a card and be like, "Do you want cookies? And if you want cookies, give me the card and I'll give you the cookies." This is like a very rudimentary form of the app. And when they, get used to that scheme, then they move on to the app, and then we can test, the actual benefits of the app on the kids. But yeah, the cards are pretty much just like a first step for kids who can't immediately grasp, the concept of using the app.
I understand. And so when you look at these videos, how do these trials run? What factors do you look for in the videos that you note down? And what is, the everyday? I guess I'll direct this to you, Ganjot. How do you look at these videos, and what exactly do you note down?
Okay. So, like Alu just said, kids have to start off with the card stage, and then they progress to the application. So it's important to note down just what stage they begin with and what stage they end up with to see how much they've progressed. And while they're doing whatever trials they're working with, you have to gauge their attention span, how long it takes them to complete the task, how focused they are, if there's any need for an example or a model. If the trainer has to carry an example out before the child can understand, that's important to write down. You also, there's also prompts you have to take into account, how many times does a person have to say something or notify them with hand signals or whatever until they are able to effectively complete the process. So all these things are important and are part of the coding scheme.
Okay, so I think you both have been able to paint a very vivid image of how the trials are run. And actually, that is very interesting that you were able to work in a lab and use a lot of computational skills. But what really interests me is that you both were able to actually facilitate a trial with a kid in person. And I believe that's really impacted both of you. So how was it being present there when Dr. Srinivasan was working with a child suffering from autism, and how did that at least change the purpose of your lab work or like give meaning to it?
So watching videos of the kids is definitely, I remember the first time I was watching the videos, it's like definitely a very moving experience, just because you don't, you know, the things that we take for granted, like, you know, normal, like the things that we I don't know, just the day-to-day like tasks that we complete, it's definitely harder for people with autism to complete those same tasks. And sometimes, you know, when you're watching a video, it's hard to like, it's easy to disconnect because, you know, once the video is over, you kind of just move on. But when kids are in front of you, you see like the effects of the disorder, like in front of you, it's like, wow, like this is like real change that we can affect on these people. And it does give meaning to the work. So
I could see absolutely how it would be moving, yeah. At least like me, the videos don't do justice. I know that it's definitely like, it's your everyday lab work. And especially like I can do like this summer, having like full time, just like watching video after video, it doesn't really impact you as much as like it would in person. So at least how did it impact you?
Yeah, like I detailed earlier, it was just, I didn't expect to get into it. So it was a unique experience, not something that everyone gets to experience. So it's valuable too, especially if you consider I'm pre-med, so hopefully I want to be a doctor eventually. So I'm going to be dealing with patients like this in my future. So it's a good experience, and it's good to learn how these kids act and how, like, and there's like some stigma around autism and whatnot. And especially for me, it helped alleviate it. There's like people with autism are just like people with any other learning disability, and most of the time you can't even tell the difference. And yeah, just if there was a stigma around it, I feel like me working with kids like this helped alleviate it for me, and I can help alleviate it for other people that have it. And like I said, it'll be valuable in my future.
Yes, absolutely. It does sound like a very rewarding and honestly humbling experience.
Yes.
Working with kids with disabilities, because with that as the main focus of your research, you really get to look into the numbers and crack those numbers and find at least like these results that speak to you in different ways. What I find really, really fascinating is that you both were also able to use your language backgrounds to cross the barrier and improve this experience in general, which is you're looking at kids in India speaking Punjabi, Marathi, Gujarati, and other North Indian dialects. So how has that impacted you? I'll start with Avadhoot, because I know that you're a native Marathi speaker and you were able to use your skills, your toolkit, to analyze these videos and write down all these results. So how did that at least change your perspective on collecting data for your research?
So when I started off in the lab, it was like very, very interesting. I think that's what caught me at the beginning. It was like, wow, they need a Marathi speaker. Like, okay, I'll go see what I can do like to help. And, you know, it turned out to be like this great project that's really, you know, helping kids. And I just got really caught into it. But we had just talked about this with you earlier. When we were younger, like our parents would be like, oh, you should, you know, really spend your time like learning these languages, like it'll come in handy one day. And, you know, seeing it actually come in handy now is really, it's really cool. And I'm happy that, you know, that my parents, you know, forced it on me when I was a kid.
And you were also able to use your language in a very unexpected way, towards a service-oriented project, because yeah. It's not just research, but it's service. So I think it was definitely advantageous to learn your native language and be able to apply it. So how about you, Gaganjot? You are a native Punjabi speaker, and you've been able to use that in the lab. So how has that changed the experience for you and changed your perspective on collecting research?
Okay, yeah. Like you said, I am a native Punjabi speaker, and I mainly just speak Punjabi with my parents, though. I probably should speak it more often, but with my friends, I'm usually speaking English. With my parents, it's the only time I ever use Punjabi. So it was nice to see another application of it outside of just with communication with my parents. And it was also cool because none of these videos were in Punjabi. They were in Hindi. And obviously, Hindi and Punjabi are very similar, and I knew I could understand it. But I've, like, never spoken Hindi directly to someone, or even, I guess, like, when you watch Indian movies and listen to Indian songs, that's Hindi. But I like never like really talked to Hindi, and just like the fact that I was able to understand these videos, and I was like, wow, I can like, I'm fluent in Hindi, I guess, even though I'd never spoken it. And when I was analyzing the Marathi videos and whatnot, I understood a lot of it, and Gujarati ones I understood a little bit too. So it was just cool to see the languages interconnecting and just being able to use my own language in another realm.
Right. It sounds like you were able to learn a lot about yourself in the process.
And I didn't expect that to happen, so that was pretty cool.
And I think the broader point, like, with the languages is that, like, you never know what skill is going to come in handy when. And it's, like, just learn as much as you can. Like, even if it's, like, the most random thing ever, like, you never know, like, when it'll come in handy. So, yeah.
I think that's, like, really good point, Avdhoot, yeah. Because you never would have expected that, at least, Gaganjot, you're an MCB major, and Avdhoot, you're... econ. So you joined a kinesiology lab in a physical therapy building,
yeah.
That studies students with these different who speak in these different dialects, but some of them line up with what you've spoken at home.
Yeah.
So that's definitely been able to facilitate a better experience in looking at the results and delivering this service-oriented project that is for the kids. So I wanted to touch into the goal of this project. Dr. Srinivasan's project started last semester, and I know that Gaganjot, you joined the summer, and Avdhoot, you joined just more recently, beginning of this semester. So what are the future projections of this project, and is there any link to kids suffering from autism in the U.S. that will make it a more of a relevant project?
So this project is currently being funded by UNICEF. And I believe that once we finish, you know, analyzing the videos from the India trials, then we'll, you know, be able to put together like a cohesive report of how the app has affected these kids' behavior and their ability to communicate. So once that's done, I think, you know, Dr. Srinivasan is going to submit it to whatever higher body she needs to. But yeah, I do believe that she wants to also apply the app and the findings that we collect to help kids in the United States. I don't know if Gaganjot, you know more.
Yeah, so like we talked about in her other projects where we got to work with the children with autism, she's already applying some of her previous research on children in the U.S., and I'm sure once we establish our studies from the trials done in India, she'll be able to use that data to further implement these studies onto these children. And from what we've seen in the trials, is the app and the techniques definitely show progression in the child. So when they are implemented, I think we'll see a progression whoever we're working with. It's just that what happens is when these children go away from the app or the trainer, they regress back. So hopefully if we're able to implement it onto children in the U.S., they're able to consistently use the app or the techniques, and they're able to have a long-term improvement in their understanding.
That's absolutely true. I'm sure that there's still like a lot to be known. And that's also why that, especially for a lab that just started off with the lab that's so small, you both were able to take on so much responsibility and be able to lay more of a foundation before diving into the larger applications to this project. So with that, I wanted to touch on the individual impact, which we already talked about a little bit, but I wanted to ask more of an angled point. How has your involvement in this research with kids suffering from disabilities, learning disabilities, impacted you and helped you grow as a leader, take on more in this lab, and push more for a service-oriented research project rather than any conventional one? We'll start with you, Avdhoot.
Yeah, so I completely feel like the lab has helped in many ways, and I don't think, I mean, I know you're talking about service research and that, but I think just being involved in research, period, is a big deal. Especially when you interact with, you know, freshmen and in the other clubs I'm involved in, you know, I have to meet with or interact with a lot of freshmen, and just having someone who they can come to with help about, like, you know, how do I get involved, or how do I reach out and get involved in research, it's just a very good experience to have, not only for those purposes, but then also for, you know, the obvious, like the resume building and the future endeavors or whatever, wherever it may come useful.
How about you, Gaganjot?
So I also feel the lab helped me improve as a leader and taught me a lot of important qualities. And that's another thing I didn't see coming into it. I just thought I was just going to do the research. And
be more of a participant.
Yeah, be more of a participant, I'd enjoy it and look good on my resume, but the fact that I was able to take on such a huge load, I felt has really been beneficial. And when Avduth came in, I was able to use some of the new leadership qualities I learned to help him out, and I'm sure he's going to be doing that too once we get new people in. So, and I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to learn something within a month and then have to teach other people that. But in life, you have to do that. So that's like an important, I'm glad I was able to have that experience. And like we talked about before, when working with the children with autism, that's another important quality you gain that can help you be a leader when you tackle other issues in your future and whatnot.
I think that's a really great point, that you were able to also develop the skill of peer mentoring, which is something that's it's not really something you can collect anywhere else on campus. I think definitely being able to collect more hands-on experience and be able to pass that on to others that join a lab, especially for a lab that just started so recently, you both were able to learn so much in such little time. But I think you both have definitely deserved that recognition for taking on so much responsibility, because I think it's rewarding and you'll be able to teach it to other incoming students in the coming years. So, yeah.
And we're not the only two people working in the lab. I mean, there's, I think four or five more people who are also working with us. I think we handle like the India study mostly, but I believe there's,
Work on other projects.
Yeah, they're working on other projects. But yeah, it's a lot happening, especially for a new lab. I mean, there's a lot happening.
Yeah, she's conducting multiple projects. Yeah,
and it's very exciting. Very exciting place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. And it's also phenomenal that in addition to this focus on kids in India, there's so many other ongoing projects that act in parallel to it.
Yeah.
And that's amazing, especially for expansion for a lab that just started last semester. I cannot believe that it would be able to pick up so quickly and deliver so many results. And I think you two were definitely catalysts for that change. So I wanted to conclude with more of an open-ended question that in which that you both could potentially offer advice to incoming students that want to get involved in research that is very similar to what you both are in right now. So we'll start with you, Avduth. For any freshman, incoming students, or any individual UConn student that wants to get involved in either research in kinesiology or Dr. Srinivasan's lab, or just apply to research or find out more about their abilities, what would you recommend?
So I think the best way I can answer that question is talk about my own experience and how I got into the lab. So I got in through a friend, actually. So one of my friends was working in the lab last year, and she, you know, she told me about this opportunity, and she was like, oh, like, they need a Marathi speaker, and like, you should go and ask or email the professor and see what happens. So definitely, if you have friends who are involved in research, you reach out to them, see what they're doing. I'm sure they'll, you know, it's always good to have a friend who can refer you. And having a good recommendation is definitely going to go far as, you know, getting into a good lab.
I also like how you said earlier that you never know which skill that you'll need to use at what time. And I think that's also great advice, because you were able to touch on your language skills, which you never thought would intersect with research, and it did. So you never know, and I think that's also great advice. Gaganjot, would you like to offer some advice as well?
Yeah, so for any freshmen that are coming in or anyone that's looking to get into research, I'd say don't pigeonhole yourself into a certain... while you're searching for it, don't pigeonhole yourself into a certain subject or categories or whatnot. Because I remember when I was trying to get into research, I was looking at MCB labs and PNB labs and whatnot. And I was looking for wet labs. And I've worked in wet labs before, and they're in their own experience and whatnot. But I wasn't thinking about a physical therapy lab or a kinesiology lab. So when the opportunity presented itself, I applied for it and got it. And I was like, okay, let's see what it is. And like we've detailed in this podcast, we were just able to... there's so many new skills and so many new experiences we were able to gather that I wouldn't have been able to gather if I just stuck to my stubbornness and just try to find a lab in a certain area and whatnot.
Right, and like that's often what individuals experience when they're trying to apply to conventional, quote-unquote conventional labs, because like you both said, there's no such thing. You should really widen your opportunities and apply to anything, because I like how Avdit put it, you never know what skill that you'll need to bring out, because that's really something that could secure you a spot in really groundbreaking research like the, what you both are involved in. And it's in a department that is not in your major, in your track. It's just an independent thing that you both are able to offer so much to based on your prior experience. And I think that's really something interesting to look at, especially for incoming students that want to get involved in research. So if anyone, any of our listeners, would like to get in touch with either Gaganjot or Avadhuth about their studies or ask any general question about getting into research or finding other outlets to apply skills, I think it would definitely be amazing to reach out to them. I will put their details down below for anyone that wants to get in touch with them. So thank you again for tuning in to Agents of Change, the UConn Honors Podcast. We'll be back next week with our concluding episode of this series. So we will see you then.